Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Hey, here we go. Number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio across our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, Sirius XM Channel 206. And the radio.com application number, as always, to jump on board, you want to do so, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. We always encourage social media interaction, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you want, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So by the way, something we didn't talk about yet from yesterday was the Travis Kelce speech at the end. So he's on the stage. They're going through ownership and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes too. And you got Travis Kelce out there. I needed more FaceTime. CBS did a great job of the broadcast yesterday. The introduction was awesome, setting up the stage between Tennessee and Kansas City. But I needed more Travis Kelce in that spot. And Kelce starts pulling up the song lyrics. You got to fight for your right to party. And starts jamming on out with everybody else. And a veteran savvy mood by the broadcaster, the legendary Jim Nantz. You notice Jim Nantz is a veteran move. Did not give up that microphone. That's what they teach you when you're on that stage. Even if someone's pulling at the microphone, you never give up the microphone. And they had Kelce pretty much tossing it back to the CBS team. I watched all CBS stuff yesterday. I love CBS here, obviously on CBS Sports Radio. They're crazy to be outside. Crazy to be outside for that game. Is that really necessary? You got to be on the field. JB looked like he was freezing. Jim Rome before the game with this commentary. Our Jim Rome looked like he was freezing. How about Boomer Esiason? I love Booms. But what was he wearing in that pregame show? What was he doing? I think Al Dukes, his producer, said, what is that, Bon Jovi out there? Yeah, Phil Simms as well. Someone pointed it out. Phil Simms looked like he was wearing his wife's scarf. Yeah, Bill Cowher looks tough. But we all know the Hall of Famer stuff. Bill Cowher was fine under any sort of weather conditions. But what were they doing? You really have to be outside for that game. Can't just do it in a nice, cozy studio show here in New York. Have the fireplace all up and going. Mikey B, if you were the producer of that show, is it a necessity? AFC championship game, everyone needs to suck it up and they'll just be outside?
Yeah, I think you got to suck it up. I think you have to feel the elements. You have to understand what the players are going through. You have to feel what Travis Kelce is feeling. You have to understand what Derrick Henry is feeling.
Why, though?
You have to.
It's a pregame show.
But if you're going to give everything you have to give, you have to understand what the players are going through, and I think it brings the excitement to the fan base. Come on, like, hey, there's Boomer Esiason outside looking like, I have no idea what he's looking like, but that's cool to see. You get to see these guys. That's fun. You're walking around.
On. As a viewer, you sitting there saying, man, Boomer Esiason is outside braving the elements, so now his analysis is even better because he could relate to what the players are doing sitting outside. Please, they could have some weatherman call in and say, hey, Booms, it's about 5 degrees in Kansas City. It says 18, but it feels like 5. The wind's bad. You don't need them out on the field before the game.
I saw them outside in the pregame, and you know what I did when I was watching at home? I opened up all the windows. I opened up the door, and I was like, let's get a breeze in here. I want to feel what they're feeling. I want to be cold just like Patrick Mahomes. I need to feel that to make this game feel exactly the same way. I opened my windows and doors.
And you know, actually, I could kind of believe it right now because you do sound a little bit sick. So shame on
no,
you.
The voice is going through phases
of
life.
This is what happens. No, it's phases of life. You're not 13 years old anymore. You're like a 30-year-old man now. How old are you?
36.
You're 36?
And getting older every day. That's right.
Okay, I didn't think you were 36 years old. I thought you were a little bit younger.
Good. This is the best thing I've heard all day.
That's perfect, sure. But I'm being serious. Your voice has been crap for the 3 weeks that we've done this show.
I know.
And I'm concerned, and now I think I know why. It's because you listen to these pregame shows, and they're outside, and Mikey B's sitting there with this cat and goes, oh, I have to open up the windows now.
I know Leon wasn't thrilled.
Yeah, probably smacked you in the face.
He's done it before, and he did it again.
You have that video, by the way, of your cat smacking you in the face?
It's saved on my phone, yeah.
All right, can we tweet that out, please?
From the CBS Sports Radio account?
No. We don't have to tweet it out from the CBS Sports Radio account.
I can tweet it out from mine, sure.
From your personal account, I'll retweet it on mine, at Zach Gelb. I just always think it's ridiculous, where it's 5 degrees. And this isn't even just for CBS at the pregame show. Every time there's a big-time snowstorm, do we need the weather girl or the weather man outside in the snow? I'm here. An avalanche is coming down. It's -7 degrees. I'm risking my life to give some stupid TV report. Do we need that? No. You could sit there in a studio and you could tell everyone, hey, it's snowing. Get inside. It's not safe to be outside. I bet you Boomer probably woke up this morning and wasn't feeling great. He has to get up for that morning show at 6 a.m. Has to be on the air at 6 a.m. I bet you didn't sleep much last night. I had to put these guys outside? That's what they're doing? I didn't like it. I thought CBS did a great job on the broadcast yesterday. They should not let Tony Romo go anywhere. Even though it may be good for Tony Romo to be in that Monday Night Football booth, keep him with CBS, with Jim Nantz. You have Tracy Wolfson there. I know Gene Steratore. Everyone loves the NFL refs. I'm not a huge fan of the NFL refs on TV, but there's absolutely no need to be outside in that pregame show yesterday. What are we proving, Evan? Those guys outside on a pregame show. What are you proving? Boomer could sit outside with a bunch of earmuffs?
Yes, basically.
Cowher's the only one that looked comfortable out there, too, by the way. The only one. But that's Cowher because he's mean mugging with everything. Only time we've ever seen Bill Cowher show some emotion was when he got in the Hall of Fame last week. Where you see him turn into a softie. And you know what? If we were going into the Hall of Fame, too, we'd probably be crying and sobbing as well. I'm watching this yesterday, though, and I couldn't believe it. This is actually annoying me. Why are we having these guys outside? There's zero need for it. And we're just thinking about the people on the desk. You have these poor camera people. They have to get more camera people out there to have them sit in the cold for what? To hear the Chiefs fans do their chants and to be able to relate to what it is as a player? Like, Mikey B, going back to your argument, we need to have the analysts relate to how cold it is.
I think it brings the best out of the analysts. I mean, I think when you're an analyst and you're sitting there.
What are you spewing right now brings the best out of the analyst?
I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm breaking down a point. If you're outside in the elements, you understand why so player dropped the ball. You understand why that block wasn't given. You understand why bringing down Derrick Henry and all 700 pounds of muscle of him is so difficult because it's 5 degrees. You get why Derrick Henry's all of a sudden in the second half of that game not feeling the contact as much because it's cold. You put them in a cozy studio in New York City, they don't get that. Come on.
Once again, you could have some guy call in and say it's cold, and I think they'll understand that it's cold. I couldn't believe this yesterday. I really couldn't. And I get it. You want everyone outside. It does make it look like it's very cool. As a viewer, I will say, the presentation does come off, no pun intended here, as cool. It is cool to see those guys outside, but it's ridiculous.
You want them on site, though, right? Like, you want them in Kansas
City.
Sure. Yeah. So they have to. You want them to build, like, a temporary set, like, outside. Instead of being actually on the field.
At least put a tent.
Yeah.
Over their head and have a heater in there.
I'm with you. I think they would do better, too. Like, they would perform better. They'd be able to focus better. They don't need to understand the elements of cold. They know what cold feels like.
Those guys, they do a great show regardless. But I'm looking at it yesterday, and I'm saying you have James Brown out there. I don't even know if he was wearing a hat. I don't think he was wearing a hat. I'm saying this looks so stupid. You have this poor guy out there. He's freezing his tuchus off. That's what's happening yesterday. He's freezing. I know they get paid a ton of money. But that's what we really need? That has to be a necessity? To have those guys outside? If I was doing that show, if I was the studio host of that show and they told me I have to go freeze my butt off in that weather, I would say, no way, no shot. That's not happening. No, it's different. For example, Nance and Romo, they're calling the game. You want the natural sound. Therefore, they have to keep their window open. But there was no need whatsoever to have those guys freezing in the cold yesterday. No need whatsoever. I didn't think I'd spend 15 minutes on that. That was way off script. 855-212 for CBS. 855-212-4227. We return on the Zach Gelb Show. Let's delve into Brady. Let's delve into Breeze, Rivers, Ben, Eli. We have Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl. We have Jimmy G in a Super Bowl. What's the latest on some of the older quarterbacks in this league and their future? We'll specifically delve into the quarterbacks we just named and go heavy here on Philip Rivers with some of the rumors over the weekend. And Tom Brady, we'll actually play some of that audio when we return next. It's the Zach Gelb Show. Don't go anywhere. CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Live, he's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. It was Elton John, not Bon Jovi, that, according to Al Dukes, Boomer Esiason was looking like yesterday. And he's not wrong. Boomer Esiason, I know he makes all the money in the world, but do we really have to put him outside for this pregame show? Boomer has the headband on in the pregame. Also has the squared-shaped sunglasses with the different color lens to the frame. He does look like Elton John in this photo. And that's what happens. You have all these guys. And Boomer has swagger. He has style. He's fashionable. But you have all these guys freezing. They have to just start wearing things that look ridiculous because they don't know what to do with themselves. Now, when I went skiing this past weekend, you have to layer up. And you look ridiculous. But there's a reason why I need to be outside when I'm skiing. Because that's part of it. It's a sport. A pregame show. And it would have been fine if they're sitting up, huddled up by a fire, and someone comes in and says, hey, guys, it's really cold. And I think Boomer's played in a few cold games. I think Phil Simms has played in a few cold games. I don't need to sit there and go, I'm sitting here on the 30-yard line. I'm freezing. This is not comfortable. This is not enjoyable. But we need to be outside and really tell you what the elements are. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. That really did annoy me yesterday. I don't know. I was in such a great mood this weekend, and I'm watching the pregame show, and I see these guys outside. I go, this is ridiculous. James Brown, I didn't even have a hat on. Not even a hat on. So silly. All right, let's get to the quarterbacks of the future. You know, no AFC title game, no NFC title game with Brady, no Breeze, no Rivers, no Ben. No Eli Manning. You know, it's a changing of a guard now. You know, I'm sure, you know, I know Rodgers played yesterday. Who knows what that future is? Tom Brady, I still believe he could play the quarterback position at a great level. So I'm not going to say that those quarterbacks will never be in an AFC or NFC title game again. But we do have an open field now. We're in the AFC. It's being led by Patrick Mahomes. And I understand Lamar Jackson had a great year as well. You have Jimmy G, even though he only threw 8 passes yesterday. That is a good team in San Francisco. So you're starting to see this position, and where it was for so many years dominated by a few names, it's now becoming open again. And Mahomes has been the definition of great the last 2 years. Lamar Jackson was great this year other than the playoff game. And you have the young quarterbacks across the league. And you really want to see what quarterbacks across the league are really going to step up and continue this. You know, you have Deshaun Watson is someone that people always point out to. You know, if you even want to go with Wentz and Prescott, even though they're a little bit older too. So you keep on going on and on and on with the names. And Mahomes now is trying to be that young quarterback. You know, you had Goff last year who's trying to be that young quarterback to win a Super Bowl, and he didn't play well on the big stage. He threw up all over himself, on himself. Now, Mahomes and Goff, they're not comparable. Mahomes, you expect greatness. You expect this to be the next 15, 16, 17, 18-year career that is just great year after great year after great year. So when we look at the future of this position and we start to figure out where some of these older players are going to be playing next year, it gets into a very, very interesting conversation. Because first you have to figure out what team needs the quarterback. Also, if you need a quarterback, do you want to go on this short plan of bringing in an older quarterback? And how much do you still believe in some of these older quarterbacks? Like Philip Rivers, I don't believe in anymore. Eli Manning, don't believe in anymore. You know, I think Eli Manning is going to retire. I think Philip Rivers will find a way to get himself on a team next year. And you go through some of these other names as well. Ben's going to be back with the Steelers. Can he get that team back from where they were now with a lot of new faces because no more Mr. Big Dope and Mr. Big Chest and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and another team? So can he get the most coming off that injury with James Conner and also Juju Smith-Schuster? So we look at these quarterback the quarterback position. We see some of these older quarterbacks. Let's start with Rivers, and then we'll get into the more fun conversation of Brady. I think Rivers is done, but I do think he'll get a shot next year. And you look at those teams, you're an older quarterback. You want to go somewhere where you could win, but if your options are slim, you're going to go where you can go play. So you take a glance, AFC East, you got to see what Brady does first. So let's not consider the Pats there. Bills, they're going to roll with Allen. Darnold and the Jets, they're going to continue to roll once again. Fitzpatrick has another year left with the Dolphins. Could they try to upgrade at the position? Sure. Would you rather have Ryan Fitzpatrick or Phillip Rivers right now, though? You know, is there that much of a difference? Even though I think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But is that team going to drastically change with Phillip Rivers at the quarterback position? That team stunk this year, and they're able to get 5 wins because of what Fitzpatrick was able to do in some of those games. You know, if you want to look at Fitzpatrick up against that Pats defense, here's what I ask you. And clearly, Phillip Rivers is a better quarterback. Clearly, he's a better quarterback. But if you look back at Fitzpatrick and that final drive up against New England, is Phillip Rivers doing that? No. How many times this year have you sat there and you said, wow, Phillip Rivers comes up short in a big spot? And that's someone that believes that Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback. But that's where I just think he is at his career right now. I don't think there's a big difference. So with the price tag that Fitzpatrick's on, I don't think you need to move on. Unless there's a younger, better option out there, and you're probably going to find that in the draft this year. Because it's probably going to be Tua. Or maybe Herbert, wherever they go. Chiefs are good. Broncos are going to roll with Drew Lock. Raiders, the Carr one's interesting. I don't know what's going to happen there. Chargers are going to be looking for a quarterback. You know, maybe Rivers goes back there. And Rivers over the weekend, it was confirmed that now he's living in Florida. So we look at the Florida teams. I know we'll throw the Dolphins out there. Tampa's too as well. Who knows what part of Florida, though? The North? Nope. Not with the Ravens, not with the Steelers. The Browns continue to roll. Baker Mayfield. Bengals going to get Burrow. The South, Watson good. Tennessee's the interesting one. What is Tennessee going to do with Ryan Tannehill? Because I can't go give Ryan Tannehill big money. I don't even know if you want to commit many years to Ryan Tannehill as well. So the Tannehill market's going to be interesting. Jacoby Brissett, he's on another year left of his contract. Do I think he's the long-term answer? No. But I do think they'll ride with him next year. The Jaguars, Nick Foles still there under contract. So they're probably not making a move there. You look at the NFC, Eagles good, Cowboys good, depending on what happens with the Dak Prescott contract situation. Giants going to roll with Jones. Redskins going to roll with Haskins. 49ers set. Seahawks set. Rams already committed to Goff. Cardinals just took Murray number one. Packers have Rodgers. Vikings have another year of Kirk Cousins. Bears, team that going to be open and play for a quarterback to challenge and push Mitch Trubisky. Would they move on in entirety if that quarterback does beat out Mitch Trubisky? Who knows? Lions going to be still going with Stafford. Maybe they try to get younger in the draft if it does line up coming off that 3-12 season. So that could be in play. Saints, Breeze will be back. Falcons, Ryan will be back. Tampa, I would not bring back Jameis Winston. And then the Panthers, it's the Cam Newton dilemma. And are they going to bring him back or are they going to save money? So you got some open jobs. Panthers job, Bucks job, Chargers, Bears maybe could be of interest. I think Tennessee is very interesting. And you take a glance, you know, maybe Indy. Now, those are just some of the few that really jump out, and possibly Oakland, too. But when you look at the quarterbacks that are going to be on the market, now I think Rivers finds a home. I think Rivers' better days are by far behind him. Ben's not going anywhere. Eli, I think, is going to retire. So the real interesting one is, yes, it will be interesting where Rivers does land. I just don't think he's a difference maker anymore. Tom Brady is a difference maker. I understand Brady did not play great this year. I still think Tom Brady has another year or two left of really solid football if he's put in the right position. Now, I hope Tom Brady doesn't leave the Patriots. I want to see Tom Brady come back to the Patriots next year. If Tom Brady, though, is on Tennessee and they're up 17-7 to Kansas City, is he blowing that? I think Tennessee's a real attractive destination. I think the Colts, now Brady would never play for the Colts, in my opinion, with going back to Deflategate and the Brady-Manning rivalry, but the Colts are an interesting option. The Bears, would they want to go all in and bring in Tom Brady if he is available? The Chargers, with what they have with Bosa and Ingram and James, too. If Keenan Allen still. So where Brady and Rivers are going to go, that's really going to be, in terms of the free agent quarterbacks are available, those are going to be the two that everyone starts with. Brady and Rivers. Then you get into what's going to happen with Teddy Bridgewater. What's going to happen with Taysom Hill. Now, he's a restricted free agent. Now, those will be some names that will be talked about, too. How about Marcus Mariota? Now, Ryan Tannehill, what will happen in that relationship? Now, Tennessee, you'd rather keep Tannehill than Mariota, but I would not be Blake Bortles-like here. Where you have 1 year where you get to a title game, then you go pay a quarterback and lock him up 3-4 years. Would not be smart. Talking about Brady's future, this was Brady with Jim Gray on Westwood One. Let's listen up to the 6-time Super Bowl champion quarterback as he did discuss the upcoming free agency process.
So it's been a couple weeks, and you know I've had a lot of time with my family the last couple weeks and just decompressing from the season and spending time with them. So I've said earlier, I'm open-minded about the process. And, you know, at the same time, I love playing football and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms.
So there you go. He's going to embrace it. Brady gives you nothing. And you know he's going to give you nothing. And I just love the takes from this where you have people sitting there saying, oh, you hear that clip. He's definitely leaving. Oh, you hear that clip? He's definitely staying. Like, we had fun with it, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Right after the loss when he put out that long Instagram post. And D-Ben and I are sitting here. And I remember I'm reading the message to D-Ben. It's about 2 paragraphs from Tom Brady, about 12, 13 sentences, whatever it is. And I'm sitting there, and I, well, send this. Any indication that he's leaving or staying? And everyone's going to give some sort of take about this. And this is what it's going to be until Brady makes a decision. I really do believe Brady's just embracing the process. I think if it's up to him, he wants to stay in New England. But maybe he realizes that the end is near. And that's the first time it's sitting in as a reality. Because forever, it's I want to play until I'm 45, 45, 45, 45. And you're closing in on 45. And even though Brady has taken discount after discount for the Patriots, there's natural greed in it. And I don't fault someone for wanting to get the most money possible. So Brady now wants to say, with all I've accomplished, I want to play the negotiation game smart and try to make the most money possible, even though he doesn't need any extra money. You got Giselle there. She's the breadwinner. And then, oh yeah, Tom makes a pretty good salary too. So it's a situation where I think Brady, he's playing it up. I do believe he'll be back with the Patriots. However, if Belichick thinks there's a better alternative, and this is the one way I could see Brady not coming back, if Brady's so set on a number in terms of finances, and Belichick says, well, go see what you could get, and then Brady gets it, and Bill's not fully willing to meet it, that's the one way I could see Tom Brady leaving. However, at this stage, if Brady goes to Tampa, is he better off than where he is at New England? Probably not. If Brady goes to Chargers, is he better where he is in Los Angeles than compared to New England? No. Bears? Interesting. Not a lot of great offensive talent, though, in Chicago right now. A lot of good defensive pieces. Defensive pieces. Offensively, no. So I just look at these options. The one that I find really compelling, and who knows what happens with Derrick Henry, too, but that Tennessee one could be very fascinating. Him and Vrabel played together. They have good defense. They tried to send Humphreys last year. Couldn't get it in. You know, couldn't get it happen. You know, you have Brown there, young receiver, good offensive line. But I do ultimately believe Brady will be signed. I really do. So we'll see what happens with Brady and Rivers. I know it won't be the last time we have this discussion, as this is going to be something that's going to be discussed in great length. I heard it all over the weekend when I'm listening to the network. I hear it all today, because every time Brady talks about it, every time Brady puts a post about it, or every time you get a report that Phillip Rivers is moving somewhere, it's going to be a story, and it's going to be a part of the news cycle until they do make a decision. All right, when we come back, Bruce Gradkowski going to join us, former NFL quarterback. We'll get his reaction to the conference championship games as Kansas City and the San Francisco 49ers are going to the Super Bowl.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We do have Super Bowl 54 all set as we get ready for next weekend between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers in Miami. And now joining us is a former NFL quarterback, now does a great job as a ProFootballFocus.com analyst. Visit them at PFF.com and also get your promo code PFF30 for 30% off Pro Football Focus's draft guide. And that, of course, is Bruce Gradkowski here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Bruce, it's Zach Gelb in New York City. Thanks for the time, and how are you?
Yeah, no problem, brother. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic, and I can't complain. It was a weekend of football that I think we have the two best teams remaining, but you know, I was thinking that it would be a little bit more exciting.
I know. I agree with you there. I was kind of, especially the later game.
Yeah.
I wanted to see Aaron Rodgers give the Niners a game, and you know, it's just turnovers. Turnovers is an inopportune time, and San Fran took advantage of it. And I'll tell you what, that defense is tough. If you could get pressure on the quarterback with only rushing four down defensive linemen, it's going to be a long day for the quarterback, as we saw it the last 2 weeks in the playoffs for the Niners, the way they've been getting after the quarterback.
Yeah, I like San Francisco to win the game going in, but I thought we were going to see a little bit closer of a game because, hey, these two teams already played once. I know it was very lopsided, but you would think after the adjustments that would be made that Green Bay would show up a little bit more, but that first half was problematic for the Packers, and you knew right at halftime that one was over.
Yeah, and when you get behind like that against a good defense in San Fran, you're not going to score in chunks or many points at all. So it was tough to come back from that. And I think, you know, the key point in that game, though, I think was the second half when Green Bay had a really good opening drive and went down and scored, that San Fran responded to that. And that was the turning point. I mean, I know we could talk about the score, how lopsided it was even entering into the second half. But the second half's a new ball game, especially when you have Aaron Rodgers, a guy that can sling it all over the yard. So I think San Fran did a really good job staying patient. The running game, I mean, it just killed them. And Green Bay couldn't get a stop at the time they needed to.
Talking to Bruce Gradkowski right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We always know the cliche, Bruce. It's win the battle in the trenches, but it's so true. Defensively, the 49ers were able to do that. And then offensively, I still think Raheem Mostert is rushing on the football field. It's amazing. We've seen it a few times this postseason, a lot with Tennessee and now with San Francisco. A quarterback win a game and do so going away and only have eight passing attempts in the game is really remarkable.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. I mean, that's a good day at the office for Jimmy G. You know, come in, do what you have to win that football game and get out of there and now go to the Super Bowl. So you just have to give San Fran a lot of credit, though. They have a really good football team all around. Kyle Shanahan, you know, what a play caller. One of the smartest coaches in the league. He just does a fantastic job. So it's always fun to watch the different designs, especially since I'm, you know, I've graded every throw throughout this NFL season for the quarterbacks. And, you know, getting to watch all these different play schematics by Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan, that's one thing I'm looking forward to, especially with 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, what kind of, you know, new plays these two can dial up.
What have been your impressions of Jimmy G? How do you evaluate him? Because he's been good this year. It's his first full season, playing a full 16 games. Also came off the injury from a year ago. When you see Jimmy G on the football field, where do you evaluate him right now, Bruce?
I think Jimmy G, you know, for me, I like him. I think he has, one thing that you can't, you know, measure, and that's the it factor. I've seen it through at times throughout games, especially when they're playing the Niners early on, when they were playing the Saints early on in the season, when he had to make those key plays, he did that. And, that's one thing I was impressed of. But the other thing that sticks out to me though is sometimes it's turnover worthy plays, you know, whether it's a sack fumble in the pocket or just a misread downfield, just forcing the football or not seeing the linebacker, that can happen. So, but look, you know, we can't forget, too, this guy is very young in his career still. He's going to continue to grow and get better. But I think what he has it separates him. It's that it factor. It's, you know, when crunch time hits, when you need to make plays, I think he has the capability to do that.
Former NFL quarterback Bruce Gutkowski here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Make sure you visit PFF.com and plug in their code as well, PFF30, for 30% off Pro Football Focus's draft guide. Get into the AFC Championship game. I thought Kansas City was going to win. I thought they were going to win going away. I was impressed by Tennessee, though, early on in that first half to take that 17-7 lead. But when Mahomes went on that run to go up by four right at the end of the first half, you knew that one was over. And what he's done in his whole career, obviously, it's been so impressive. But the last 2 weeks, down 24-0, 17-7, and in a blink of an eye, that lead does evaporate and Kansas City takes control.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? The last 2 weeks, he's been doing it with his legs. You know, when they've come back to get back in these football games, he's making key decisions and, you know, unbelievable runs at the perfect time in the football game to spark the offense, to give the fans a little juice, and to give his buddies in the huddle a little energy. And he does that, and he did that at the end of the half. And I think if you look back at these last 2 weeks, the turning point in the game for the Chiefs is when Mahomes has used his legs to pick up first downs or to gain 20 yards. And that's the special characteristics he has that you can't account for. I mean, you could try to contain him within the pocket, he's going to beat you with his arm. You could try to put pressure on him, you know, he's going to escape outside or buy a little more extra time to get rid of the football and drift back and lay it up. So the guy can do it all, and he's really fun to watch.
I'll tell you, with the Titans' game plan, we all thought they were going to run right out of the gate, keep on running. They did take some aggressive shots early, really on second down. What did you think of the Titans' approach yesterday up against that Kansas City defense?
You know, I thought they started out good, and especially the way, you know, the offense moved the football to put points on the board early on in the football game. And, you know, just in Mahomes and the Chiefs' offense, it's just too much. It's really hard to shut them down and stop them for four quarters. And I think what Tennessee was trying to do, you try to mix up coverage, try to confuse Mahomes a little bit. And at times they did do that. They confused Mahomes and the receivers. I mean, that's why – you know, Tyreek Hill dropped the one ball on a key third down. And so I thought Tennessee did a good job at that. But look, when Mahomes then is scrambling and making first downs, and then once he gets into a groove, I mean, he's just playing backyard football, and he's pretty special.
We all know that the emphasis has been on Mahomes and the offense. That is what does sell, and that's what gets everyone talking about, especially with the way that he looks like a video game each and every week. But this defense, I was reading that since week 11, they're the number one ranked defense in football, Kansas City. Where is the Kansas City defense to you? Like, how do you view them right now? Because I know people don't look at the defense yesterday as the big statement, but I thought the defense did a heck of a job up against Derrick Henry, only holding him to 69 yards.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I was going to point out. They never really let Derrick Henry get off and get into a groove and let Tennessee dictate the football game. And I think you have to give Kansas City's defense a lot of credit, you know, and they're a bend don't break defense right now, and they're making the necessary plays and getting after the quarterback. They're getting some turnovers. I mean, you know, so it's they're playing good, and they started playing really well when they needed to, and that's what had me on the Kansas City Chiefs bandwagon the second half of the season when Mahomes got back from that injury. It took him a few weeks to get back into his natural groove, but I knew they were playing right at the right time leading into these playoffs.
What do you make, by the way, as we're wrapping up with Bruce Gradkowski, of the future with Tennessee at their quarterback position, and then even circling back with the Packers? How do you evaluate the Packers moving forward now?
Yeah, I mean, I think first with Tennessee, they have to find a way to lock up Tannehill. I mean, I think Tannehill has brought a lot to that football team. You know, give Mike Vrabel a lot of credit to having the kahunas to bench Marcus Mariota, to communicate it the right way throughout the locker room. Everyone was on board. Mariota being the professional that he is in playing his role when Tannehill was starting. And then Tannehill doing his job, you know, and he was making the plays necessary. I think he brought some life to that offense. You know, he can make the throws from the pocket. He's also athletic enough to make, you know, plays with his legs. And, you know, I think it's just, you know, we could talk about what he does on the field, but I think what he brought to that locker room is more important, and that's the reason why you have to try to lock him in to a contract before free agency, because they felt they caught their groove as a football team in Tennessee, and I'd want to keep that continuity going into the offseason.
Before we let you run, Bruce Gradkowski, I know you have an entire week to break it down for PFF and next week as well, so you got some time, but your early gut right now, your early indication on Chiefs and 49ers in the big game tells you what?
Man, it's so hard because, you know, my initial reaction is Kyle Shanahan's going to draw up all these plays and they're going to do a great job offensively, and I feel like it'll be hard for Kansas City to stop them. And then there's that little voice in the back of my head thinking, you know, he's playing against number 15, and the dude is pretty sweet. So I always go back and forth because when you have Patrick Mahomes on your team, it's just hard to bet against him. And I'm just hoping it's one of those barn burners that we just see it going back and forth like a boxing match, and that it comes down to the last score, because I could see it happening now. But that Niners defense, man, is tough because they get pressure on the quarterback by just rushing four defenders, and the rest of the guys are in coverage. So I could see the Niners taking this one.
Wow. Okay, how about that? That would be solid, because I think a lot of people are going to go Kansas City, right? That would be the early feel probably, right? A lot of people are going to take Kansas City.
Yeah, because on the outside, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And the guy's special, and it's just really hard to go against him.
Well, hey, Bruce, we appreciate it. Once again, use the code PFF30 for 30% off Pro Football Focus's draft guide. Keep up the great work, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Have a good one.
So appreciate Bruce Gradkowski joining us right there on CBS Sports Radio. So there you go. First prediction in terms of that game for this weekend that we heard on this show. I won't give you my prediction until next week, probably. And maybe by then I'll be very scared having to owe Gus Frerotte some food. We got to really put a few prop bets in there because I'm one behind Frerotte right now. We really got to put some prop bets in for the Super Bowl. I don't think we're going to do anything this week. Are we doing anything this week with Gus?
Well, we've got the Pro Bowl. I mean, there's that.
No,
and we've got a hockey
stinks.
We've got a hockey game, I'm sure, on the schedule.
We'd probably bag it this week, right?
We could. I mean, unless we could come up with some stuff to try to help you out, Zach, because you're down
I'm
a game.
Only down a game. So
do they let you bet on the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, they
must.
Do.
Yeah, they must.
But
yeah.
You could bet on anything. But do you actually care for the Pro Bowl?
No.
When was the last time you watched the Pro Bowl?
Oh, man. That's a great question. It's been a decade at least.
But that's
it was in Hawaii the last time I watched it.
That's me with all types of all-star games. Like the NBA, I don't care for the no defense in the NBA all-star game. What I care about is the skills and the three-point contest. And even that is growing old with a lot of people. The NHL all-star game, last time I really cared about it was when that guy John Scott got voted in and they made him the MVP. That was fun. Are you watching the NHL All-Star Game each and every year? Probably not. Baseball, when I was a kid, loved it. Absolutely loved it. Now, could not care whatsoever about the baseball All-Star Game. And for the Pro Bowl, it's the teams that are the players that are. See, the players don't even care about it because you're on to sometimes your six or seven alternates, it feels like. So there you go. Gronkowski's taking the 49ers in the Super Bowl. I think a lot of people, hey, I think this is a coin flip type of game. But because of the way Mahomes has just been so sensational first 2 years of the league, I do believe people are going to look at that. They're going to say Jimmy G up against Mahomes. And I think a lot of people are going to go with Mahomes, especially that number two, 1.5, 1 point.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.